Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. It is good to be here tonight again. Praise our God. It's wonderful to know the living God and to have that hope that Brother Samuel was speaking of just a moment ago. We are truly blessed to know the living God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, thank the Lord. It is good. Yes, God is good. He is merciful and how he helps us. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's go before the Lord in prayer as we begin here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again for such an opportunity. We thank you, Lord, for your precious word, oh, Lord, that you've given to us, Lord. Oh, God, that we might know thy ways, God. Oh, Lord, that we might walk in thy ways. Oh, God, that we might hold them dear, Lord. Oh, God, that we might rest in thy precepts, oh, Lord. Oh, God, we just thank you for what you've given us, the knowledge. And, oh, Lord, we thank you that you opened up our eyes. Oh, God, that you opened up our eyes that we might see, Lord. And you gave us ears that can hear, Lord. And, oh, God, a mind that can perceive, Lord. And, oh, God, we thank you, Lord. Oh, God, for we could be out there without thee, without hope in the world. Oh, God, but we thank you for what you have done. And, oh, God, what you're going to do, Lord. And I just pray that you'd work tonight, Lord. Use this word, oh Lord, let it have free course. Oh God, let it minister to our hearts. Oh God, help us, Lord, for we know not the day of thy return. But oh God, we know, oh God, that you know how to keep us, Lord. You know how to talk to us. You know how to get us ready, Lord. And I just pray, oh Lord, that your word would minister to us, Lord. Oh God, that you'd let it go down deep into our very beings, Lord. Oh God, that it would just, oh Lord, do what it needs to do, Lord, to bring us to that place that we would be ready to behold thee, Lord, to stand before thee, to crown thee King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh God, for we, oh God, we look unto thee, Lord Jesus. We ask you to move here tonight, oh God, to talk to every heart. Oh God, to heal those that are sick, Lord, to give, oh Lord, comfort to those that mourn, oh Lord God, oh Lord, to bring deliverance to them that are bound. Oh God, to help us, Lord, to hear, oh Lord, oh God, what the Spirit would say to our hearts. Oh Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, have your way. Please use this word. Please give me words, Lord. Oh God, I can do nothing without you, Lord, and I bring this to you, Lord, asking you to work here. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, and let the devil be rebuked. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood. Oh, Lord, thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. It's good to know the Lord. You know, wow, you know, it seems that, you know, winter is fading and spring is coming. I mean, you can kind of feel it. I hear the birds. I hear cardinals quite often, and oh my, it just seems like most of the snow is gone, except for the big piles, and that will take a little longer, but you know, the mercy of the Lord is how we see the hope that comes forth. Oh yes, the spring even comes forth, and all of this, but oh my, our greatest hope is in the Lord Jesus. Oh, his wonderful promises, and oh yes, that wonderful trust that we can have in him to know that, oh my, he knows how to make a way. He knows how to help us, and he wants to help us. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. We are blessed. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay, praise God. We're going to go to the book of Luke as we begin here tonight, and we're going to call this message, Take Up Thy Cross. And as I begin here tonight, we will be talking initially at least about the cross that the Lord has given us. Let me just say, we all have a cross, and it's unique for each and every one of us. And I believe what it amounts to is what God has for us to do as individuals, his plan for us as individuals, that we might inherit the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And praise the Lord. But you know, in the meantime, as we walk this earth, there were pilgrims, we're strangers. Oh my, a lot of people don't understand us. We're a peculiar people in more ways than one. And praise the Lord, we also shine as a light in this world that is so full of darkness. And what a privilege it is to know the living God. But we do have a need to take up a cross that the Lord gives us as individuals. And as we begin, let's go to the 9th chapter of the book of Luke. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 9. And let's just go to verse 23 here. Luke 9, verse 23. Jesus is saying here in this 23rd verse, "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." Oh, praise the Lord. So here it was, Jesus was instructing his disciples, and you know, oftentimes, yes, they were alone when he would begin to tell them doctrinal things, and you know, often the masses would not have had ears to understand and eyes to see. But he did tell his disciples very specific instructions, and here in this 9th chapter we see that he is telling them of a necessity, and that is that if we are to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, if that is our intention, then there is a need that we would deny our own selves, our thoughts, our will, our being here, and take up his cross and follow him daily. Amen. And I think this is, you know, pertaining to the words that Jesus would have us to do the will of God. And as individuals, it's all going to be a little different in many respects. He doesn't ask exactly the same thing of every one of us, but there is one thing he is asking here, and that is that we would be willing to take up that cross that he gives us as an individual, and to take it up every day, daily, it says, and follow him. And it does mean that we would turn our lives over to the living God and let, you know, him rule and reign in our lives. You know, not, you know, ushering, you know, the things that, you know, are, you know, things of the flesh that we might, you know, desire, but to put down those kind of things that could end up being great hindrances, but being willing to bear that cross that the Lord Jesus gives us. In other words, being willing to do his will. Of course, he says, you know, what would it be to a man's advantage if he would gain the whole world and lose himself or lose his own soul, as it is written in the book of Matthew, or here it says in the book of Luke, or be cast away. And I don't think there would be anything more horrible to realize that we had gone through this life, we had done what we wanted to do, perhaps, maybe, oh my, gaining the prestige of man and maybe gaining wealth and having advantages. maybe even seeming to gain the whole world in that sense. But my, how horrible it would be to stand before the Lord Jesus and realize that what we did in that little span of life that we had did not gain us eternal life. And instead we had lost that which we had thought we had gained. We had lost our souls, or we were cast away. And he says in verse 26, "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." Oh, yes, he's coming with the holy angels. And oh, yes, they will bear witness also. And I know that our words, the life that we live is recorded. And if we have been ashamed of the Lord Jesus, in other words, we didn't stand up for him, we didn't claim him, we didn't walk with him, he is telling us very clearly here that he will be ashamed of us when he comes in his glory. And oh yes, the glory of his fathers and of the holy angels. Oh my, we don't want that kind of result to the life that we have lived, do we? That kind of end? No, by no means. Let's also now turn to Luke, the 14th chapter here. And here we have a little more that Jesus said along these lines here. Praise the Lord. Luke 14. It tells us, if we begin with verse 25, "And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." And I think if we go to the book of Matthew, I'd just like to read it with the words that Matthew wrote, the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew. I believe this explains what is meant when Jesus said here, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brother and sisters." I believe what he is saying, I believe it clearly comes out here in Matthew 10, verse 37. He says, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." Praise the Lord. But oh my, yes, there is a need to put the Lord Jesus above anything else, to love him with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, in our strength, and to put him first, to seek the kingdom of God before anything else, and his righteousness. Praise the Lord, knowing that all these things shall be added unto us. But praise the Lord, you see, he's indicating that there is a cross that he does expect his children to take up. If they are going to follow him, there is a necessity. And like I said, I believe what he means when he's talking about that cross. I believe it means that we do the will of our Father which is in heaven, that we deny our own ambitions and feelings and emotions and whatever all comes into the picture at times to hinder. Oh, yes, to take over, that would seek to control us. No, instead we yield to the Lord Jesus Christ and we give him our hearts. We surrender to his will, his authority, his desires. And that is if we want to be his disciples. Praise the Lord. Yes. And yes, he indicated if you're not going to do it, then, oh my, you cannot be my disciple. Of course, we know that the word disciple means one who is under discipline. And I'll tell you what, you know, there's a lot of people that don't want to put themselves under the Lord Jesus. You know, you get talking to people sometimes and you realize, you know, they have a bit of scripture, they know a bit about God, they even want to serve God, but yet, you know, they still want to do their own things. They still have their own notions. They still want to interpret the scripture according to their own minds. But Jesus said, if you don't bear his cross and come after him, you cannot be my disciple. And if we go on to read a few more verses here in Luke 14, in verse 28, it tells us, for which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage, and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciples. I believe there too, it's relating to laying down our lives to do the will of God. Oh yes, be willing to be dead with Christ. Oh yes, to the things that, you know, are fleshy, that stir us within at times emotionally and you know, try to take over, but oh my, are not within the will of God. In other words, he wants us to be dead to the world, and oh yes, have that life with Christ, where he leads us, where he guides us, where he disciplines us. Praise the Lord. And oh my, it certainly is to our advantage. Because, oh my, what profit would it be if we would gain the whole world and lose our own soul? What can a man give in exchange for his soul? That is a very serious question. And when we contemplate following the Lord, we do realize that, oh yes, he does have expectations of his people. But oh my, we know that he knows how to lead us, how to guide us. And the end result is eternal life, forever with the Lord Jesus. And again, oh my, there's nothing in this world that is worth losing eternal life, forever being with the Lord. And oh yes, obtaining those things that he has prepared for them that love him. Oh, he is going to greatly compensate those that follow after him and walk in his footsteps. Amen. Praise the Lord. But yes, there is that need that we would, in following the Lord, to take up that cross and do his will and follow him and let him lead and guide and direct our paths. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Let's go now to Galatians, the 6th chapter. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. It must be dry in here. I just know my voice is just a little raw at the moment. But with his help, praise the Lord. I know he's going to help. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Galatians chapter 6. And let's look at the very first verse as we begin here tonight. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And let's just think on this verse just for a moment here. And again, you know, it's telling us, you know, if you observe, you know, somebody else with a situation, with a problem, with a fault that, you know, needs correction. It's telling us that we should restore such a person, go to them with a spirit of restoration to help them to see the fault, the thing that is wrong, so that they can overcome, so that they can go forward and walk with the Lord. But it also tells us in this first verse that we need to do it in the spirit of meekness, and yes, to consider ourselves, lest thou also be tempted. And my, this is definitely something to think of, because, you know, sometimes pride gets in the way, and what a downfall that is. I remember years ago there was a situation, and there was a brother in the church that was skipping a lot, and you know, realizing that, you know, he was falling into temptation in that sense, and there were certain things, particularly maybe on the television, that, you know, he didn't want to miss, so that, you know, he would skip out and you know, even neglect church in order to, you know, see his programs. And there was another brother that thought, oh my, you know, it was so obvious, and he wanted to help him, so he thought. And so he confronted him. And I'll tell you what, I mean, yes, there was a need to do that in that sense, but obviously something went wrong, because the brother who tried to do the correcting soon fell away and became very snared in a very deep problem. And thank God, after many years, I believe he did come back to the Lord and find repentance. But I think this little example indicates the need that if there is some fault that we see in another individual, that when we attempt to bring forth correction, that we would do it with the right attitude, realizing that, you know, we all are human. We all have flesh. And, you know, the same fault that somebody else might have could also become ours. The same snare that tripped them up could also snare us. We could also be tempted. So it is important to do such with a spirit of meekness, with that realization, very humbly realizing that we too could fall. And then verse 2, it says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And this is quite a scripture here, and one to really consider, I feel. I believe when we talk about burdens, I think we could also talk about the needs that other people have, the heaviness, the things that, oh my, sometimes become very hard as one is carrying that cross that the Lord Jesus has given us. And we know that we can't carry another person's cross, but there is a way that we can help them. And I just want to just show you some examples here in Scripture where, oh my, it exemplifies what it means to bear ye one another's burdens. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Hebrews, the 13th chapter here. I'll be coming back to Galatians 6. So here in Hebrews 13, it says in verse 1, it says, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Verse 4 says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Verse 5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Praise the Lord. And verse 7 says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. And the word conversation not only means what comes out of the mouth, but it also means conduct, and that covers quite an area of life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But yes, here we're admonished. There are just some helpful things here that help us to know how we can bear one another's burdens, to let brotherly love continue. And oh yes, having read that portion of scripture, I want to go to the Old Testament for a moment. I want to go back to Exodus here. Praise the Lord. Exodus in chapter 17. Praise the Lord. There's an example here that I think shows us how we can help bear another's burdens. Here we have it. If we begin with verse 8 here, Exodus, the 17th chapter, it says in verse 8, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Joseph said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek tomorrow. I will stand on the top of the hill with a rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But here, what I would like to point out is this fact here. Very, amazing. Here there was a war, as they were going through the wilderness. And lo and behold, here came Amalek, and he wanted to fight with Israel. He was picking a fight with them. And anyway, they knew that they had to go forth and fight him, therefore. So Moses put Joshua out there to lead those that were capable to go and fight Amalek. And he, Moses, was going to stand on the top of the hill. He's going to have that wonderful rod of God in his hand. And, he went up there with two others, Aaron and Hur. And Joshua went out to battle with the Amalekites. And it was noticed as they were fighting, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And then, when his hand was down, then Amalek had the advantage and was prevailing. But as you can imagine, it tells us in verse 12 that Moses' hands were heavy. And I don't know, you've held your hands upward for a length of time. It seems like it doesn't take too long for, your hands to get heavy and it gets a little bit hard. And there it was with Moses. Oh my, they had to win this battle. And how was he going to do it? Because, his hands were heavy and it was hard to continually lift them upward. But there were two that were there to help him, to encourage him, to strengthen him, to help him to bear this burden that he had. And those two in this case were Aaron and Hur. and they stayed by him, and they stayed up his hands, it tells us in verse 12. One was on one side and the other on the other side. And praise the Lord with their help. Oh, his hands, Moses' hands, were steady until the going down of the sun. Praise the Lord. And Joshua, by the grace of God, therefore, was able to defeat, to destroy Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But you see here, Moses needed a little help. And it's amazing how God has these little examples kind of inserted here and there in the scripture. And, you know, I believe, you know, this came to mind. I know I was talking to Penny, Sister Penny, oh my, a few days ago, I believe. And we were thinking of this example here in the scripture. And, you know, it's just very encouraging to see how there was help there in that time of need. Oh, to even help Moses to keep his hands held up so the enemy would be defeated. And, you know, it's pretty amazing there with, you know, the lifting up of hands. And, oh my, I believe the victories that can be won when we lift up our hands unto the Lord. Oh, yes, it tells us in Psalms 141, a psalm of David. It says in verse 1 here, Psalms 141, Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Verse 2 tells us, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Oh, he was comparing that ability to lift his hands unto God as the giving of a sacrifice unto the Lord. And oh, yes, it just seems that when we lift up holy hands with all wrath and doubting, as we're admonished in 1 Timothy, the second chapter in verse 8, that, oh my, there are great feats that are won. The Lord uses it. It seems like when we lift our hands to the Lord, there's a sense of victory. And somehow, you know, I've seen it so often when, you know, people receive the Holy Ghost, they were looking upward and they were lifting their hands unto the Lord. Oh yes, so many times when we worship the Lord, we lift up those hands unto God and praise the Lord. It just seems that his presence comes down and floods our soul. Oh, praise the Lord. It just is. Moses discovered when he was lifting his hands, oh yes, that the enemy was put to flight. Oh, I believe there's a spiritual application to that. When we lift up our hands unto God, I believe his presence comes down. I believe it's symbolic of putting the enemy to flight. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, there is such victory in Jesus. I know Jeremiah knew the significance of lifting one's hands. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, he said in the midst of great despair, great trouble, as Jerusalem was being taken and he was watching it, his beloved city. Oh, yes, his enemy had come in. Yet, oh my, in that third chapter of Lamentation, oh, it says in verse 40, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. In verse 41 here in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 41 says, let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. Oh, praise the Lord. There's something about it, folks. Oh, there's something about it when we lift up our hands to God that, oh, yes, it invites his presence to come down in a wonderful way. Praise the Lord. And we can go on, oh, yes, to see the enemy defeated. Because, oh, yes, as we take up our cross and follow the Lord, there are battles that we must fight. There are spiritual battles that come into play. And, oh, my, sometimes, oh, my, seems like the enemy comes in like a flood. But oh, our God is able to lift up a standard against it. I do believe with the lifting up of our hands, oh yes, we can see great and wonderful victories in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord for His goodness, His mercy, His compassion. Oh yes, it tells us in Hebrews the 12th chapter. Praise the Lord. Verse 12. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest they which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, there are times, oh, we can be in you know, a mode of defeat. Oh, our hands cast down, our heart, feels like it's down in the dumps. But praise the Lord, oh, I believe again, there's something about the lifting up of the hands. Oh, not to let them, oh, stay hung down. Don't stay in that defeated mode. Oh, let the Lord give you faith. Let the Lord give you victory. Lift up those hands that hang down and those feeble knees. Oh, my. Oh, yes. That verse is from Isaiah 35, verse 3, where it says, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. And you know, to confirm means to support or establish. Oh, yes. Oh, we can do that in the Lord. Oh, yes, we can find strength and support in the Lord. Praise the Lord. And there is victory in the Lord Jesus. And I believe, oh, yes, that lifting of the hands unto God, oh, shows that we're reaching out for the victory. Yes, we're reaching forth to God. Oh, we're claiming the victory in the name of the Lord Jesus. We're lifting up our heart with our hands, praise the Lord. It's the lifting up of our hands is the evening sacrifice unto God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. But oh yes, with all of that, going back here to Galatians the 6th chapter, I believe, yes, the Lord would have us to bear one another's burdens. In other words, to help one another as we are able. And it says, so fulfill the law of Christ. That is God's expectations, that yes, we would go forth and do those things that would help one another and are so pleasing in the sight of God. Likewise, oh yes, to yes, lift, oh yes, get on the side of that one that is struggling, to help them with the load, the burden, the need there as Hur and Aaron got one on the right and one on the left side of Moses to help him in that need, in that time of need, so that, oh yes, he could continue to lift his hands and the enemy being defeated. Amen. Praise the Lord. A way of allowing brotherly love to continue. Amen. Goes on to tell us here in verse 3 of chapter 6 of Galatians. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. And oh my, there is no room for pride in this walk with the Lord. Oh, we know that Jesus has very plainly told us that without him we could do nothing. John 15, verses 4 and 5 tell us, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Oh, we have to remember from whence cometh our strength. Oh, it isn't of ourselves. Oh, we don't defeat the enemy of our own abilities by any means. But it's because of him. And oh, we must never get to that point where we think, oh, it's I'm something, you know, I have this kind of supernatural strength, or I have this supernatural ability, or whatever. But, oh, it tells us, for a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Oh, that is so true. And, you know, Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 tell us, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And of course, verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. For anything that we accomplish in the kingdom of God is because of the Lord Jesus and how he takes our lives when we give it to him, when we take up that cross and begin to follow him, how he begins to take our lives and make something of us. It wasn't because of our abilities, our intellect, our strength by any means. No, as it tells us in Ephesians 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, he takes our emptiness. He takes our worthlessness. And he begins to mold us. He begins to shape us. He begins to make something out of nothing. What we were before we knew the Lord, we were nothing. But he begins to create in us, first of all, that clean heart and that right spirit. And, oh, yes, he begins to change us, to mold us, and make us his workmanship. So, yes, that we can walk in his ways and do his will. Amen. Praise the Lord. So as it tells us in Galatians 6, verse 3, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But verse 4 tells us, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. In other words, every man shall carry his own cross, you could say. And I know, although we do help one another, we do assist each other in that we bear one another's burdens in that sense to fulfill the law of Christ, I can't carry your cross. And you can't carry my cross. No, we all have that cross that the Lord Jesus gives us. It's our own burden. And oh yes, we all must learn to give that to the Lord Jesus. And let him mold us and shape us and make us his workmanship so that we can go forth and do his will. And as it tells us in John 15, that need, oh yes, that we would reside in him, abide in him. Yes, he is the vine. We are the branches. And he said that he that abideth in me and I in him, if we're in Christ, in other words, if we're going forth and by his strength, by his spirit, by his might, going forth to carry our cross, then praise the Lord, it says in John 15, the same bringeth forth much fruit. But then, for without me ye can do nothing. See, it's his works, his ways, his ability that he gives us. And absolutely, we could do nothing without him. Praise the Lord. And so as we walk this life and carry that cross, then yes, we go forth to prove our own work, that particular thing that the Lord has given us as individuals to do. We all have a part in the kingdom of God and a function that we each need to play in order for the body of Christ to be complete. Everyone needs to be pulling their part, doing their particular work assignment that God has given each of us to do as individuals. Praise the Lord. So yes, every man shall bear his own burden. And oh yes, it's going to take the strength of the Lord. But see, oh yes, we can help one another. We can encourage one another. Oh, there are things that we can do that would help sustain another person in many different ways. But oh my, there are limitations. We can't carry the other's cross. We all have to take up our own cross and follow the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. But praise the Lord, as we've been saying, there is one who's always there to help us. Oh, to pull us through, to give us his strength, and to give us his help. And all we see, oh, the many ways that he comes to our aid. Oh, to give us that kind of strength that we lack. And oh, how many times have we been there, that place where, oh my, it just seemed like we were in a fix, and oh, there was no answer, and oh, what in the world were we going to do? Or maybe it was such a problem, maybe our health seemed like it was gone, and my, we didn't know how we were going to even go forward. But oh my, there is one that knows how to bear us up in his arms. And how to carry us through when, oh yes, our own strength begins to fail. And oh, we just don't feel like we have it. Oh yes, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Oh, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord knows how to give us that strength. Amen. Jesus said, in John the 16th chapter, oh yes, after his wonderful words, his edifying words before he was crucified, his foretelling of the things that were coming to pass, and oh yes, his foretelling that, oh yes, they would receive the Spirit of Truth, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, amen. But as he ends that discourse, he says in verse 33, John 16, verse 33, he says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, he told us in that verse, you know, as we walk this world, it's not going to be so easy. Oh, he said, you know, at times that cross can be hard. In other words, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Jesus Christ, that great and wonderful example who walked this world. Oh, yes. And walked in victory. Oh, yes, who obtained victory over the flesh, over the devil, over the world. Oh, yes, who walked this world. Oh, yes, without sin. And, oh, yes, showed us the way that we must walk. Gave us that example. Praise the Lord, he overcame the world. Therefore, he knows how to give us a strength so that we too can overcome this world. So we too can gain the advantage and the victory that comes in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter, the first chapter, praise the Lord. It tells us, if we look at some of these verses here in the first chapter, 1 Peter, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Oh, praise the Lord, folks. That is a living hope that we have. Oh, yes, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It goes on to describe all our inheritance. Verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Oh, praise the Lord. See, it even says in verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Praise the Lord. God knows how to keep that which we've committed unto Him against that day. He knows how to keep us as we walk this world. He knows how to give us His power, His strength through faith. That faith that's going to carry us on. That faith that goes forth, oh yes, to defeat the devil. Amen. That victory that overcomes the world. Praise the Lord. Through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 6 here in 1 Peter 1 tells us, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And look at verse 7. It tells us, despite heavy temptations, great needs, conflicts, hardness, sorrow, testings of all kinds, trials, tells us in verse 7 that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Praise the Lord. Oh, that's what we're aiming for. We might be going through heaviness at this point. We might be going through manifold temptations. But praise the Lord, it tells us that trial of our faith is going to be worth it one of these days. It's more precious than gold to go through that trial and gain the strength that the Lord gives you when you get through that tunnel. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, it's more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. Oh, hard times of testing, great intensity with fire. Because, oh, yes, we're going through a refinement. There might be chastisements. Oh, yes, there might be things that we have to learn and get through and overcome. Praise the Lord. But we want the end result, that we might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That's what matters when we stand before Him, that we would be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Praise the Lord. See, there's a hope within us. Despite the heaviness of the moment, despite the burdens, oh yes, the cross that can be hard at times, no, there's a reward. We've got a goal. We're looking forward. There's a focus in our mind. Oh, we're looking for that day. Oh yes, when we have fully overcome, that day when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, that one that we have not yet seen, yet believing. Praise the Lord, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, it's going to be so worth it when we see Jesus, when we stand before Him, hear Him say, well done. It's going to be so worth it, folks. Oh, no matter how hard it gets, so no matter how heavy that cross may seem at times, it's going to be so worth it when we stand before the Lord. And oh, yes, to be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's our goal. That's our aim. That's what we're working for. Praise the Lord. Tells us, we turn to Romans, the 5th chapter. Praise the Lord. Verse 3, 4, and 5, it says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. Oh, praise the Lord. You see, there are benefits through tribulation. And here, Paul is talking about glorying, or in other words, rejoicing in tribulations. Because we know, you know, that trial, that tribulation, it's doing something to our inner man. It's bringing forth patience, something that we wouldn't have without trials. And oh yes, that patience is giving us experience. And with that experience comes hope. Praise the Lord. And with hope, oh yes, it maketh us not ashamed. Oh, because we know, yes, that we have believed in the Lord Jesus. And oh, that he is with us, that he is strengthening us. And oh yes, that there's an eternal destination that is our goal. And yes, it's going to be so worth it when we see the Lord Jesus. Oh, that love of God which is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. You know, oh my, it had to be something, you know, in that 16th chapter of the book of Acts when Paul and Silas were cast into prison. Oh, they had been beaten. Oh, I'm sure they had wounds all over their bodies, those many stripes that were laid upon them. And there they were, cast into the dungeon, you could say, into the prison. I'm sure it wasn't pretty down there. And they were, in fact, they were thrust into the inner prison. And it tells us they had their feet fast in the stocks. But praise the Lord, they were not defeated. Oh, they were rejoicing with joy, with victory. Praise the Lord. At midnight, Paul and Silas began to pray and sing praises unto God. Oh yes, it tells us in Acts, that 16th chapter, verse 25, the prisoners heard them. Praise the Lord. Oh, they were rejoicing in spite of the trial, in spite of the hardship, in spite of the stocks that their feet were in. Oh my, and everything else. They were rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory. They were rejoicing in their God. And the others heard them. Praise the Lord. It wasn't just a quiet little recital. No, it was loud. Oh, it was from the heart. Praises unto God. God sent a great earthquake. Oh yes, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, salvation came to the house of the keeper of the prison that day. Oh, God used it. You know, we don't know why we're going through this or that. We don't know, but God often gets glory through those trials. If Paul and Silas had not been willing to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ, oh, there were some people that would have not found the Lord Jesus that day. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, and it was quite the event. Oh, as that keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled, it tells us. But verse 28 here in Acts 16 tells us, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Oh, praise the Lord. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Oh, praise the Lord. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord into all that were in his house. Oh, praise the Lord. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, God intervened in a mighty way. He used that trial, oh, yes, to intervene into the life of a man who most likely would have never known the love of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord, the words of life. Oh, yes, the message of the gospel. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, they took that keeper of the prison, and yes, they expounded unto him the word of the Lord, to him and to all that were in his house. Praise the Lord, he received it. Oh, yes, he took them out. He had washed their stripes, and yes, he went forward to be baptized. Oh, yes. Oh, to follow the word of God, to believe, to repent, to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, yes, I think it's pretty likely that he received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord at such a time. But see, they were willing to suffer affliction, and how God honored it, how he blessed it. Oh, they didn't know what was going on. But you see, tribulations, there's a purpose. There's a reason for them. And you know, we gain from the hard things of this life. We gain from those moments. That tribulation brings forth patience. And all from patience, we gain experience, and then hope, and that wonderful, oh, hope that does not make us ashamed. Oh, that hope that maketh not ashamed. Oh, praise the Lord, that thing that's deep down in our heart, because we realize the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Oh, praise the Lord. He gave us something, oh, worth living for. He gave us a hope that is deep. He gave us of his Spirit so that we could go forth in victory. Oh, yes, to walk in faith and to carry that cross that he has given us to carry. Praise the Lord. We couldn't do it of our own. We couldn't do it of our own intellect or strength or willingness. It has to be the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord, he knew, as you know, just flesh, we have limitations. But through his strength, through his Spirit, we can be more than conquerors through Christ that loved us. Praise the Lord. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. And we would never overcome. We could never be more than a conqueror if there wasn't something in the way. There were not obstacles that we had to climb over or, you know, cast down or whatever all to get through. But the Lord Jesus knows how to take us through this world, and he hath given us of his Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, so that we might go forth in victory. Oh, yes, that we might be more than conquerors, so that we can carry that cross. Praise the Lord and follow the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's interesting how Paul stated in the 14th chapter of the book of Acts, oh yes, that as he was exhorting his disciples there, those that had followed, that had obeyed the gospel, that, you know, it would be through much tribulation that they would enter into the kingdom of God. Just reading it here in Acts, the 14th chapter, verses 21 and 22. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, into Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter in to the kingdom of God. See, there's a warning here. We got to count the cost. We know Jesus did not promise it to be an easy road. In fact, oh my, you know, he said, you know, straight is the gate. You know, he told us, narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. You know, we're warned. And here, Paul, as he was confirming the brethren, those that were believers there as he was going through their cities, and just admonishing them exhorting them to continue in the faith. He told them that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Oh, yes, amen. It's not to be an easy road. Oh, but praise the Lord. That road that God has asked us to walk leads to everlasting life. Praise the Lord. It leads to eternal life. It leads home. Praise the Lord. That place where our God is. Oh, yes. That place where we're forever be with the Lord. There'll be no more tempter in that place. There'll be no more sin. There'll be no more afflictions. There'll be no more diseases. Oh, we'll never have to worry about COVID and all such things as we are hearing of right now. All of that will be past. Praise the Lord. We'll be at home forever with the Lord. Amen. Praise our God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's go to another scripture here. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Praise the Lord. Begins by saying in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3 tells us, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. And just look at this. You know, he did not leave us comfortless. Oh, Jesus Christ knew as, oh, he walked this earth and, oh, he learned, oh, yes, through the things that he suffered. This life down here isn't an easy walk. But praise the Lord, he did not leave us comfortless. No, he sent back his spirit so he could dwell in our very beings. Praise the Lord and give us that kind of strength that we need to endure until the end. And here he says again, verse 3 in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So look at this. You know, he allows us to go through certain things. And, you know, because he knows through that process, all those steps, you know, that it's going to make us different. It's going to help us to yield forth the fruits of righteousness. Oh, yes, to be worthy. Oh, yes, to be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Praise the Lord. And, oh, yes, he tells us, he comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. Praise the Lord, because we experience certain happenstances, certain trials, certain testing, we can go forth and comfort other people. Praise the Lord, who also are going through such things. Amen. And it says, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Goes on to say in verse 5, For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation, or another word for consolation would be comfort. So it is for your consolation. You know, we're enduring things so that we can edify and help other people. Praise the Lord, so we can help them to gain strength, so we can help them to hold up their hands, you know, and gain the victory. Oh, yes, as Hur and Aaron stood on each side of Moses to help him, oh, yes, to hold up his hands. Praise the Lord. So verse 5 again, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Praise the Lord. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings, which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. Praise the Lord. See, it works together. All of that. And yes, as we walk this world, we're partakers in the sufferings that Jesus Christ partook of. And praise the Lord, it also means that, yes, we would also be partakers of the consolation, all the great comfort that he gives his people, how he affirms us unto eternal life. Oh, how he uses all these things. Oh, as we walk this world, as we take up this cross to follow the Lord and endure hard afflictions. As a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. But oh, yes. All they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. We're not here, you know, to walk a silky road. We're not here without any conflicts or testings or trials. No, we're here to overcome. And that means at times, yes, there are battles that must be fought. We're talking about spiritual battles, oh, the gaining that we must gain over the flesh, over the world, over the devil, all the things that come, oh yes, to befuddle us, oh, to tempt us, to try to get us to turn away from following the Lord. But all praise the Lord. There is one that gives us strength day by day. And yes, he has told us that great need that if we are to follow him, that we would take up our cross daily and follow the Lord Jesus. Oh, yes, but we know the advantages, the gain. Oh, yes, because if we can endure until the end, oh, yes, if we can make it through this world, if we can be overcomers, praise the Lord. Oh, there is a great reward. Oh, we have an inheritance that our God has reserved for his people. And it's so precious. Praise the Lord. Oh, that inheritance, that eternal inheritance that's undefiled. Oh, that's reserved in the heavens for the people of the Lord that overcome. Oh, yes, that gain the advantage through conflict, through trials, through testing. Praise the Lord by taking up our cross and being willing to submit our lives, our hearts unto the Lord Jesus. Oh my, but I know one thing is going to be so worth it when we see the Lord and realize, oh yes, the merits it has gained because we were willing in that day that he called us to take up that cross, to become his disciple, to follow the Lord Jesus, praise the Lord, to go forth and do his will. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, there is such gain. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. We know that whosoever will seek to save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, Jesus said, the same shall find it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? Oh, I'm so thankful that the Lord has called us, that we can, by his strength, with his enablement, by his power, take up that cross and follow the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh God, we love you, we thank you, we praise thee, we exalt thee, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you would strengthen your people, Lord. I pray that you would move. I pray that you would, oh God, send forth the gift of the Holy Ghost, Lord. Oh God, that you give forth strength. And oh God, I pray that you would bear those up, oh Lord, that are going through hard trials, Lord. Oh God, that need strengthening. Give them strength, Lord, to overcome, oh Lord. Oh God, to see the tunnel at the end, oh Lord, the light at the end of the tunnel, that is. Oh God, I pray, oh Lord, oh God, that you would just carry us all through, Lord, that you would give us that strength, that courage, oh God, that willingness, oh, to take up that cross and to follow you daily. Oh Lord, we thank you. We know there are great rewards for those that will seek thee and will walk in thy ways and do thy will. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Praise our God. Oh, praise the Lord, the great one that is able to deliver us, to take us through this world, to give us a strength that we don't have in our own selves. Praise the Lord. It's going to be worth it, folks, when we see Jesus and realize, oh my, he has enabled us to carry that cross, to walk this world and to be overcomers. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our hymnals, number 42, and sing, Oh, to be like thee, number 42.
Coming,
Safe, have a wonderful night.